Good morning. Our next reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, you are the most awesome, eternal God, only wise. And we just thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ, the light of this world, into the darkness of this planet. Thank you that he stepped down and laid aside his majesty and took on human frailty and lived a life that we could never live, died the death we deserved, and rose again on high. Father God, when we think about these words that we've just sung, we will never, ever know how much it cost your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. But Father, we just stand and marvel at your work in Christ this morning. And I pray that for all of us, we would truly say that you are our God. You are my God. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And I pray that every knee would bow this morning, every tongue would confess that Jesus is not just the Savior of the world, he is Christ, the King. He is Lord. And Father, as we have a look at your word and see for ourselves what the true meaning of Christmas is all about, I pray that you would write these great, glorious, eternal truths on our hearts and our minds, and that we would be completely transformed once again and renewed by the power of your Spirit and your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A friend of mine once got a very funny Christmas card, and it listed top five lies that you hear at Christmas time. The top five lies that you're probably going to hear around Christmas. You might be able to guess what some of them are. I'll give you the list. Number one is this. "Gee, thanks. It's just what I always wanted." Number two is this. "Well, okay, but this chocolate is definitely my last." I'm sure we're going to hear that this afternoon many times. Number three is also pretty popular, a popular lie. "Well, no, of course we don't mind you staying with us another week." Number four is probably something that I am most guilty of personally, and that is this. "No problem, dear. I'll fix that during the holidays." Jenny's like, "Yeah." Well, I must say, number five seems a little bit harsh to me, but the fifth lie that you're probably going to hear this Christmas is this. "No, darling, of course it doesn't make you look fat." Don't look at me, don't shoot the messenger. Those are the top five lies you are probably going to hear, and I might hear myself this Christmas after all the food I'm going to eat today. But when you think about it, they're not so much lies as they are half-truths, because there's a little bit of truth in there, but they're half-truths. And you're probably going to hear some of them very soon, because you do tend to hear a lot of these half-truths around Christmas time, even today. But you know what? I found it true that you especially hear a lot of half-truths about Jesus around Christmas time as well. You hear half-truths about who he is, and you definitely hear a lot of half-truths about what he came to do. And I want to dispel some of those myths this morning, if you don't mind. I want to have a look at these half-truths and proclaim the whole truth and nothing but the truth about who Jesus is and what he's come to do, because that's what Christmas is all about. Now, the first thing we're going to have a look at is half-truths about who Jesus is. I want to clear up some of the confusion about who he is and what he came to do. But let's start with this one. And I must say, it amazes me that so many people in our world today feel that they have the right to decide who Jesus is. They think that they can come up with their own idea of who Jesus is, and they think that their explanation is just as valid as any other explanation. They want to say, you know, Jesus, what I think about him, or I like to think of Jesus as a good teacher. Or maybe he was just a very, very wise prophet. He was definitely a moral man, an upright man, a steadfast man. Well, yes, that is true. But again, you know, these are just half truths. That's only half the truth about who Jesus is. You know, there was actually an article that came out around Christmas time a few years ago that said a good way to celebrate Jesus and a proper way to think about him is like a mythical hero, much like Hercules or other figures from Greek or Roman mythology. The writer of the article didn't think it mattered who you thought Jesus was, just as long as you were inspired by him and by his life. I want to tell you categorically and emphatically today, it does matter who you think Jesus is. It really matters who you believe Jesus is. And we need to make sure we get to the truth and that we don't get lost in the half-truths this Christmas time. And the best place, the only place for us to go to do that is the Bible. We're going to go to God's authoritative, perfect, holy word and have a look at what this historically reliable, accurate, scientifically factual document has to say about who Jesus is and what he's come to do. Because the Bible writers, the people who wrote the Bible, they are the ones who actually investigated who Jesus is. They spoke to eyewitnesses, and so they are the ones who can give firsthand experience and testimony as to who Jesus is and the truth about him. Now, in the Bible, we are clearly told who Jesus is. It's crystal clear. And I'm not making it up. This is in God's word. And I want to have a look at that today. I've put it up on the screen for you to follow with me as well. This is what it says in the passage that was read to us. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. An angel came and announced this. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." See, that's the first important thing we see about who Jesus is. I don't know what you think of Jesus or what your personal opinion of him is or who you think he is, but the Bible says that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior King that God promised a long time ago, all the way back in the Old Testament, the King that God himself would send to come and rescue his people. He would come as a savior to save his people. But more than that, have a look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is the amazing thing about Christmas. God promised many, 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 many years ago that he would send a king to come and rescue, to come and save his people. And that king is none other than God himself. God, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, the one who holds the stars in place, the one who put the planets in line, and the one who holds everything together and who created you and me, that God came down to this world in flesh as a human being. The Bible is clear about that. Jesus was no ordinary man. He was the Son of God, the Savior King who has come into the world, God in the flesh. Now, if you think that Jesus was just a good man or a good prophet or a teacher, then you've only believed half the truth. You've only believed half the truth about Jesus. Jesus is the Savior King that God promised, who would rule over his people forever and ever, whose kingdom would know no end and whose dominion would last for all eternity. That King is Jesus, who is God the Creator, come down into this world. He is God the Son of God. That's the truth about Jesus. And I want to share that with you this morning. The second thing I want to dispel or to share with you is not only half-truths about who Jesus is, but half-truths about what Jesus came to do. You see, when we figure out that Jesus is the King of God's kingdom, that he is God in the flesh, come down into the world, then we've also got to understand what he came to do. What did he come to do? Well, let's have a look. Now, I want to say the writer of that Christmas article said something interesting about Jesus. He said that Jesus came to give us an example. Jesus came to give us a model of how to live our lives. He said that Jesus' life reflects a set of values that we so desperately need in this world. There are a lot of people who would want to agree with that. They think that Jesus gave us some kind of great principles for living. You know, the 6 steps to living a good life. And they say, well, yes, he did. He taught us about forgiveness. He taught us about sharing. He taught us about how to live in peace and harmony, turning the other cheek and all of that. Again, these are only just half-truths. These are half the truths about what Jesus came to do. Because he did teach those things. I mean, Jesus may have taught how to, you know, forgive, how to share, how to live in peace and harmony. But that's not it. That's not the most important thing that Jesus came to do on this planet. He had a far greater purpose in coming into this world. Again, let's look at what the Bible has to say about that. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, and he explained to him exactly why Jesus was to be born into this world. Let's look at Matthew 1, verse 21. The angel says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's exactly what the angel told the shepherds as well. Luke 2, verse 10 again. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you.'" The one thing that Jesus came to do, the most important reason that Jesus came into this world, was to save us. Jesus came as a Savior for all people. He came to make it possible for us to be forgiven by God. He came to save people from their sins. That is what we desperately, desperately needed. We don't often think like that, do we? We don't believe that. We think that we need to be saved from things like corrupt government officials. We need to be saved from unstable global economy and climate change and all those kind of things. That's not what we need to be saved from, brothers and sisters. We need to be saved from our sins. Because every single one of us has sinned and rebelled against an almighty, holy, righteous Creator God. And because we've done that, our relationship with him has been messed up completely. And we are, as a result of our own fault, our own sin, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And we deserve his righteous anger. We deserve his wrath. We deserve to be punished by him because he is the perfect sinless one. We are the rebellious creatures that the Creator has made. And we desperately need to be restored back into our right relationship with God. And we need to be brought back into fellowship with him, have our sins forgiven, set free, made right. And that is the good news of the gospel. That is the reason Jesus came into this world at Christmas. Jesus came to save us from our sins. That's the truth. That's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Jesus came to make us right with God. There's nothing on earth we could have done about it. There's nothing we could contribute to help make us right with God. He did it all. He paid for it all. He came so that we could be set free from our sins. He came so that we could be forgiven and made right with God. Isn't that great news? Isn't that amazing? And that is something I don't want you to forget today. I don't want you to neglect that truth. I don't want anybody to let that slip by today. I've been praying for us this morning. I've been praying for each of you, maybe not by name because I haven't met you yet, but I've been praying for every person that sits under the message this morning, that today would be a different Christmas for you, that today wouldn't just simply pass you by, that today you would drink deep from the well that is eternal life in Christ Jesus, that today you would just acknowledge, understand, and completely be amazed and in awe of the presence of Jesus in your life and what he's come to do for you. Because that is the truth about Christmas. Jesus is the Savior King who came to save you from your sins. And he's not only just the King of God's kingdom, he is God himself. What kind of God would do that? Would come down, take on flesh, you know, get involved in the dirt and the muck and the mire of society, of humanity. He did. Our God did that. And he did it for you. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he wants you to be part of his eternal kingdom and his family. That's the truth about Christmas. And if you believe that, if you believe that Jesus is God himself come to save you from your sins, well then there's only one true way to respond. And that's the last thing I want to look at this morning. One true way to respond to Jesus. Now in the book of Matthew, we read that some wise men, some magi, had heard that the news of God's promised king had finally been born, and they were excited. They traveled from a very, very far land, as Lindy reminded us this morning. So Jesus wasn't just a teeny tiny little baby. He had grown up a little bit. But they come, and they want to see this king, and they want to worship him. Matthew 2, verse 9 to 11 says this. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where their child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now these magi, these wise men, they come from afar. They walk into the home where Mary and Joseph were, with Jesus lying there, probably on a little bed. He's very young. And what do? They look at him, they bow down on their knees, and they worship him. They worship this young little boy. And let me tell you, that is the right response to Jesus. That's the response God wants from you and from me this morning. That is the response that God wants from the whole of creation. That every person acknowledge Jesus is the King. Every person should acknowledge Jesus as Lord, as God. And I hope your response is the same as theirs. I really hope that your response to Jesus will be the same as the wise men. Because God has sent his Son into this world, and he wants every knee to bow to him and to worship him as Savior and to crown him as their King. That is what Christmas is all about. It's not about the fancy decorations. It's not about the party celebrations or the fun times that we've had or will have later, Gary and Heather, opening gifts from family and friends, as nice as that is. And it is awesome, and it's great to do that. What a wonderful thing we can do that, to celebrate the true gift of Christmas by opening presents with each other. But it's not about that. It's not about admiring the cute little baby in a manger. It's about worshiping the man that he grew up to be. The man who is no ordinary man. The man who is God in human flesh, who came to save us from our sins. It's very, very easy to forget that these days. It's easy to forget that there really was a man named Jesus who lived on this earth about 2,000 years ago. It's easy to forget that he said some really hectic, important things about himself. He said that he was God himself who's come down into this earth. He said that he came to forgive us for rebelling against God. He said that he would make it possible for our sins to be forgiven and that God's anger at our sin to be dealt with. He said that by turning away from sin and by turning towards God, we could be welcomed into the family of the eternal God of the universe. He said that by trusting in him, we could have eternal life in heaven with him one day. Guaranteed. Some people thought he was crazy. Some people thought he was lying. The amazing thing is that after he died for our sins on the cross and paid for our sins against God, he proved everything he said about himself by rising to life again after being dead for 3 days. And because he rose again, all of God's promises about Jesus were also proven to be true. And that means you can trust that the promise of eternal life that he offers you today is for real. It's 100% guaranteed. Again, that is the truth about Christmas. God offers you eternal life, guaranteed. I said it yesterday, I want to say this again today. It's been going around my head, this phrase, this whole week, and it's really meant a lot to me. The mind-blowing thing, the most amazing thing about Christmas, the most amazing thing about Jesus coming into this world and about the gospel, it's not about us, it's not that we can receive Jesus into our lives, but that he's already received us into his. And that's grace. That's not something we deserve. That is something that God did for you and for me out of his love, out of his mercy, and out of his undeserved favor. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. The King of love offers us life eternal as a free gift today. Have you taken that gift and put out your empty hands and taken hold of that life? Again, that's what Christmas is all about. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior and the Lord of your life, and that eternal life will be yours forever. You've got to let go of whatever's holding you back. You've got to let go of whatever's weighing you down. You've got to let go of whatever you're holding onto that you think is more important than Jesus. You've got to let go of the things that are not good for you, that are sinful, that are idolatrous, and that are just from this world and not of God. Let go and turn away from them and turn to Christ. Accept the free gift of eternal life that he offers you this morning. And you will be saved, you will be set free, and you will have the best Christmas you've ever had in your whole life, because you've become a child of the King, family of the living God. And I really do hope that this Christmas will be a great Christmas for you. I hope you have a wonderful time, a lekker lunch today, and just have such fun with your family and really enjoy it. But most of all, I pray and I hope that this message will not pass you by. That ringing in your heart and in your mind today and for the rest of the week will be the true meaning of Christmas. I hope that something inside you will stir up a desire to know Jesus more, a desire to get connected with him, whether you're from England or Australia. There's so many different people here. I want you to know that if you have any questions or queries or want to know more about Jesus, my door's open, or my email address is open, my phone number address is open, and I want you to know Jesus as your King. Because that is on offer for you today. I hope above all that this is a Christmas where you see past the half-truths about Jesus and thank him for coming into this world to save you and make it possible for you to be made right with God. And for those of you who are already followers of Jesus, you've got to remember that God's promises are not just for you. You need to share this message of love and of peace with God and of hope eternal. You got to share it with other people. Let them know the joy and peace that is found from turning away from sin and turning to Jesus for salvation. You know, we've got to take in this message of Christmas in a wonderful new way today. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Jesus came to destroy sin. Not because sin is fun, but because sin is fatal, it destroys us, it corrupts us, and it separates us from God. But because he loves you, because he cares about you so much, he didn't come as some cosmic killjoy. He came as a savior, not to hurt you, but to help you. Not to ruin your fun, but to save you from sin that is fatal. Jesus is for us. He's not against us. You've got to know that. He's come to save you. And he's come to make it possible for you to live in the presence of a holy God and to worship him and glorify him and honor him for the rest of your life. Jesus is alive. Jesus is almighty. And he lives in us by faith. And so, Christian, keep on trusting Jesus. Keep remembering Jesus, especially today, what he's done for you and who he is. And find your strength, find your comfort, find your joy in the loving arms of the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the King of Love, the King who is God himself come down to save. Let's pray. Father, we sing with all the angels and all of those in heaven rejoicing around your throne. We sing, Gloria, In excelsis Deo, may the name of the Lord be praised forever. We thank you, Jesus, for saving us from our sins. Thank you for giving us a renewed purpose in life. Thank you for giving us meaning in life to serve you, to live for you, to love you. And I pray that every knee today would bow to King Jesus. Every tongue would confess that he is Lord. Change our hearts, we pray this morning. Do a mighty work in each of us that when we go home, yes, we will have fun. Yes, we will eat a lot of food. We will have a great time with our family. But Lord, let your spirit work in power in each of us that we would wrestle with this truth, that we would be moved and motivated and just have new desires to know you more, to serve you more, and to love you better. I pray this all in the precious, wonderful name of our Savior, our Lord, our God, and our King. In the name of Jesus. Amen.